into God's Word. Father, we're here, and we believe you're here, and our hearts are open, and we're opening up your Word. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us, and that we're here to learn, grow, and develop in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in the middle of a series called My Next Step. What we're saying in this series and reminding ourselves of is that we each do have a next step to take in our walk with Jesus. That's true for everybody. No one's exempt from that truth, that we each have another step to take. What is it for you? What is it for me? It'll look different. But we've been looking at some possible next steps in each of our sermons. We started the year reminding us that we never stand still, and that if we think we can, we're really kidding ourselves, that there's always that forward motion in faith. And then we talked about diving into life, about saying yes to Jesus and expressing that in baptism. If you're in any of those first phases of checking out what Jesus is all about, I just want to say I'm very excited for you. Because whether you realize it or not, chances are you don't fully realize it because you just can't yet, you are setting your foot on an extremely powerful and adventurous path when you begin to consider what it means to say yes to Jesus. So if that's you, you're checking this whole thing out, you're wondering what it means to be a Christian, which can be a confusing concept in today's world, and you want to really dig into what that means biblically, then I'm glad you're here, and I'm excited for you, because there's nothing better in life than saying yes to Jesus and beginning to follow him. So we've been talking about that. In these last couple weeks, we've been looking at the next steps of what it means to join the family of God, to make a commitment to a local church, and then to find a small group, a community of people that you can do life with. Last week, we had a table up here, and we talked about how we've all got to find our place at the table, choose who we're going to have around our table, and do life with. And so those are all important next steps for any of us. Maybe some of those are your exact next step, or maybe what I'm going to talk about this morning is your next step. I want to talk about enjoying ministry, serving on the team that is the church. Our main point this morning is this: to serve others as God designed us is our highest calling and our greatest pursuit. God designed each of us to serve others. And so we need to pursue that. We need to lean into that. We need to not neglect that. So if you're looking for a full life, if you're looking for direction in life, I've personally not found a better way to get a handle on direction in life. You know, a lot of us wonder, what's God's will for my life? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be about? What does he want for me? What we're going to talk about this morning is a powerful way to find the answer to that question. It's like a waypoint in your navigation. It's like GPS for navigating your way forward in life. It's like a compass, because when you begin to pursue how God designed you and you begin to look at what that means in this world and how you can serve others, you are tapping into some sense of purpose that will drive you. It turns on the engine of your life in a way that few other things can. It's easier to steer a moving car, right? It's easier to turn the wheel and set direction in your life when your car is moving. And ministry, serving others, is a great way to get your car moving, so to speak. Nothing can replace the joy of finding your place on the team that is the church. And so these words that I'm using, team and serving and service and ministry, they all go together, and they sound a lot like work, right? But it's work worth doing. And whenever I'm preaching God's word and talking about work, I want to make sure that you all hear clearly that we're not saved by work. Everyone knows that, right? We're saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice for us. We're not saved by our works. Like, we don't do a lot of good deeds or hard work to get on God's good side. That's not what, quote unquote, saves us. But we're also not saved from work. We're saved to work. Work for God, work for the kingdom. Saved from a life of fruitlessness to one of fruitfulness. So when speaking of works and labor, like we will for a little bit today, we cannot confuse this point. Neither the rightness of our deeds nor their quantity will move us closer or farther from God's grace and acceptance. He loves us no matter what. As hard as we may work in His kingdom, it won't make Him love us more. He can't love you more than He already does, because He loves you beyond measure. And that's true of every single person who can hear my voice today. Amen? When we receive that grace and that acceptance into our lives, something in our motivation changes. We don't have to join Him in His work. We get to. We want to. In that sense, we must, because we're driven toward that out of love, His love for us and our love for Him. So let's kick this off. We read about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, when we're reminded that we are each uniquely shaped. This first point's a real quick one. We're each uniquely shaped. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now that word handiwork there in the original language is the word poema. It's from where we get our word poem. It means a work of art. You are God's handcrafted work of art. You are His poem. Like the lines of a poem, every strand of your DNA is thoughtfully composed by God. What you're like, how you're wired, is on purpose by the one who made you. You're not an assembly line product. You are not mass-produced without thought. You are custom designed, one of a kind. You are an original masterpiece designed to do work in this world, which God had in mind for you to do when He decided you should exist and made you. Isn't that a powerful thought? That's a very powerful thought. Our serve class, I talked about our four classes there, our serve class goes into this very thoroughly and very well, talking about how you can discover how God wired you and what that means for you. So our first point, super fast. Each of us is uniquely shaped by God, designed to do good work. Building on that truth then, we are all needed and included. This is a big one. We're all needed. We're all included in this call to, in this work of serving others in ministry. And when I say ministry, ministry in the Bible means service. They're the same word in the original language. It means to serve. That's what ministry means. Saying yes to Jesus means saying yes not only to the family, but the team that is the church. There are no bench warmers on God's team. This coach needs everyone in the field. That's the kind of coach our Father is. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, this passage we've been coming back to these last few weeks, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. That He's arranging the players on the team, He's arranging the parts of the body in any given local church as that church is submitted to Him, just as He wants them to be. What God seeks to accomplish through Outlook Christian Church, He will do through you and me. That's it. It's us. We're His church. And this is His arrangement. He's the coach, and He's deciding how we're arranged. If He wants to accomplish something through this church, He'll send the people with the gifts to do that thing. See how that works? Because He's in charge. It's His church. A little later in this same passage, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Now what a harsh and tragic thing it is to hear, I don't need you. Chances are, because we like each other, we wouldn't say that to each other. You wouldn't turn to someone here and say, I don't need you in this body that is the church. But chances are good we sometimes say it to ourselves. They don't need me. Which is essentially the same thing as we're reading, but just inward. We all have a place to fit. And more importantly, we all must take that place. No one else can do exactly what you can do, how you would do it. No one else can be who you are. For our whole body, so to speak, here at Outlook, to be healthy and functioning, everyone must find their fit. Can I hear you say everyone? That's right. Let me talk for a moment about what usually keeps this from happening. Comparison keeps this from happening because we try to reshape ourselves to be like someone else. God designed me as I am and you the way you are, but if I'm comparing, I'll decide that I want to reshape me to be more like you. So, because I'm comparing. Or projection. I think everyone else should be like me and that my shape is best. The way God shaped me, the way God designed me is best. And so we project on everyone and we don't appreciate the diversity of gifts that is the local church. Or rejection. We don't accept how God designed us. Too many times we don't see ourselves as able, as qualified, or knowledgeable enough. See, we have a whole list of reasons we can count ourselves out of ministry. Too often, we're our own worst enemies in this regard. But God is looking for our availability, not just our ability. He knows all about our ability. He put it there, and He can develop it. But far before He's concerned about that, He wants us open to Him, as I prayed at the beginning of this message, that we would be open to Him. How often we rob ourselves from the thrill of being a tool in God's hands because we swallow that lie. We settle for what's familiar and comfortable. We simply choose not to believe in the potential God says He sees in us. So we stay on the bench. But God will not refuse a heart that is willing to serve Him. And don't think that ministry should just be done by us paid ministers. That would be so boring, if I do say so myself. And it's not biblical. It's not biblical. All Christians are called to serve in the body that is the church. That means all Christians have a ministry. That means all Christians are ministers. So sometimes we don't feel competent. Other times we don't feel worthy. We can adopt the damaging idea that ministry is only done by Christians who've got it all together, who don't have the problems or the weaknesses or the struggles that you and I have. Ministry seems great, we tell ourselves, but I shouldn't even think about it until I get myself straightened out. Letting ourselves believe this would also be a tragedy. Don't let something that's wrong in your life keep you from becoming and doing something that's right. Don't let poor decisions made yesterday keep you from making wise decisions today. Does that make sense? But so often that's exactly what we do to ourselves. Let me make one thing clear in case you've been feeling this way. The dimness of your past should never keep you from the brilliance of your future, from that adventurous destiny that God has in store for you. The chance to serve, the chance to share love with others on a ministry team. It's awesome. This same passage concludes with the sentence, "You're all the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Each one of you. No one is excluded here. There are no outcasts. There's no bottom rung on the social or ministry ladder, so to speak. There are no divisions. It doesn't matter what you wear or how much money you earn or don't, or the shade of your skin or your background or your talents and abilities or perceived lack thereof, or your gender, or your education, or your challenges and handicaps, your awards, or your failures, or your age, whether young or you feel you're not so young. We are each a part, the passage says. We each have a contribution to make. And we're all on level ground, amen? We are all in this together. Can we say that out loud? We are all in this together. So we're all needed and included. And we each must fulfill our function. Having understood how we're designed and the fact that each of us is a necessary member of the body of Christ, we finally must decide to go for it, to try it, to get on the bike, start pedaling, see what this whole serving thing is all about, and actually do what we're made to do, what only we can do, and what others need for us to do. In Romans 12, we read these words, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So every part of the body has its own function. We know that in our own human bodies. Turn to your neighbor and say, is the pastor talking about bodily functions this morning? Is that what's happening? That's what my daughter Hope calls a dad joke, which she says she appreciates, so I'll keep telling them. I'm glad my toes keep me balanced and my brain makes decisions and my tongue can taste food. I'm glad that each one of them does what they were made to do. So each of us must do what we were made to do. The passage goes on. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, which means to speak forth truth, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. It goes on. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Whatever your gift is, the passage says, get to it and enjoy it and go for it, you know? Whatever it might be. You might have noticed when you walked in and sat down that near your chair or on your chair, depending, is a little blue card called My First Serve. These First Serve cards are one tool that we try to provide that can get you communicating with the proper minister on staff and check out what it might mean to serve in one of the ministries here at Outlook, one of the teams. It's a chance to kick the tires on some ministry teams around here and see which ones might be a good fit for you. It's a no-commitment way to just say, yeah, I'd like to do a first serve. I'd like to show up and just learn more about it, give it a shot, stuff like that. So you can look at those cards and read that. And if you want, you can fill that out and give it to one of us, take it to the Connection Center, put it in the offering tower, whatever. But it's a great way to get that conversation started. And on a side note there, as you're thinking about that card, you don't have to be a member of our church to serve on a team. There are only two areas in which membership is necessary to serve around here at Outlook, and you'll understand why when I tell you what they are. One is anyone who works with our kids and children, right? Because we need to know who those folks are. We want to protect our kids. We need to have a relationship, a level of understanding with those who work with our kids. And so we ask people to become members before they have a direct volunteer relationship with our little ones all the way up through our students. And we, if you're going to lead and teach, we kind of need to know who you are, right? And so if you're doing that, then you're a member. But every other possibility to serve around here at Outlook is wide open to anyone. And so there's lots and lots of opportunities to check some things out and join a ministry team. So look at those first serve cards and give that some prayerful thought. So we each have a function, and we each must fulfill it. For the body to work, we must fulfill it, and honestly, for our own spiritual development. Until we discover how God designed us and really begin to flow in that, we're missing something pivotal in our own life, in our own quality of life, and in our own disciple development. We grow greatly by serving humbly. There's great growth that comes through serving. It fulfills us. It rewards us. And in fact, there's some spiritual growth that only comes through serving. We don't experience it any other way. It only comes that way. And so it's yet another reason why this is such a worthwhile thing to pursue and to consider. Service is where you get to see God at work. I think this is a big one, because I go through it, you go through it, I talk to a lot of you as you go through it. It's easy for all of us to have times in our lives in which we feel doubtful, we feel out of focus, we feel confused, we wonder about God's presence, His nearness. Is He active? Does He care? Anyone ever felt that way? Yeah, you bet. You bet. I'm going to take your lack of putting your hands up as just, you know, that you all agreed and didn't, you know. Again, so I'm not the only one. But I'm telling you, there is something very potent about serving in ministry, especially when you don't feel it, because there are things that you get to witness, God doing things in other people's lives, serving those in need, being around some, you know, whether you're serving with children or students or you're just around other people or you're out in the community. There's so many things that when you get off the bench and onto the field, you begin to see, wait a second, God really is active. He's at work in this world, and I couldn't see it from the bench. You know, I'm sitting here, and I'm kind of like, I don't know if this God thing is real, but man, I'm telling you, you get out there, and you just start serving, whether it's pushing a broom, cleaning a toilet, or, you know, stocking a food pantry, you name it, all kinds of stuff that needs to be done in God's kingdom, and something, you become a witness to something that you just wouldn't see otherwise. I don't know how I can explain it any other way, but it just strengthens your faith. God becomes more real. Peter puts it like this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So again, now we have Peter. We've heard Paul saying this. Peter says the same thing. This is a witness across the New Testament. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. God is made real in our serving. He is glorified in our serving. We come to worship, and we want to worship because we're so much more aware of God's reality. We see Him at work in us, changing us. We see Him at work in others through the ministry that we experience. And it draws us to want to give Him glory and to praise Him. Taking steps in ministry. If that's your next step, if that direction is your next frontier, or one you need to return to, you will find it to be an adventure. Listen to this story from Outlooker Jonathan Roberts as he tells what he discovered as he found his place on the team. Take a look.
My name's Jonathan Roberts. I've been attending Outlook for 3.5 years. Been a member for a year and a half. When becoming a member, I signed up for a first serve working in Camp Outlook with third graders with Scott Fudge. Part of my motivation for signing up with Camp Outlook was to get some insights as to what's ahead for me as a parent. Have you ever heard this Mike Tyson saying, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth? My first serve, I got a virtual punch in the mouth by a bunch of fourth and fifth graders. And at the end of the day, I kind of realized that, you know, I had some things to learn and had my work cut out for me. In the beginning, I put a lot of pressure on myself and I was getting easily discouraged. And I just had this moment watching them take communion. All these kids, they have their heads bowed, they're mouthing prayers, just you can see them intimate with the Lord in that moment. I actually saw myself in them, that I realized that, you know, we're all sinners to our Father and to my Father, I'm a bad kid, and that before the Lord's table, we're really all equal, where I see these kids as my little brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's exactly what they are. So since that time, I've really started to experience so much more joy and peace in my role as a small group leader. I've taken the pressure off of myself and ultimately given it up to God, because He's the one who's going to transform these children, not me. But I'm thankful that I play a small part. I took that first step into children's ministry because there was a need, and there still is a need at Camp Outlook. God is using my experiences there to transform me in ways that I never really thought when I first got involved. I want these kids to see me as someone that they can trust, a man of God who loves the Lord and wholeheartedly follows Him, because that's the only way to follow Him. So my experience at Camp Outlook has certainly caused me to take closer steps to God.
Really glad that Jonathan shared that. Yeah, give it up for Jonathan. Just a perfect example of how we learn because we're teaching, we're growing because we're giving. It's just part of how it works. And Jonathan is now, in addition to serving in the kids' zone on Sunday mornings, he's also teaching God's Word to our kids, to kids at our newest outreach at 42nd and Post. We've recently begun a Bible study at Meadowlark Apartments, and he's part of the team that's now sharing God's Word with kids there at 42nd and Post. So one step leads to another step. You just don't know how it's going to turn out, and that's part of the adventure, amen? I mean, it's just really, really the way it works, and it's good. Ephesians 4 says, from him, meaning the Lord, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How? As each part does its work. That the body gets stronger. That means the mission gets fulfilled. That means a Jonathan who fills out a first serve card and shows up and feels like he's getting punched in the mouth from those fourth and fifth graders, right? Begins to learn, leans into that experience, is, you know, leading a group in the kids zone now each week. And then it is now taking that step and is over at 42nd and Post. The mission is stronger because the body is stronger because each individual ligament, so to speak, each individual part is taking its next step. Imagine how much stronger our church gets as a whole when every single one of us, whatever that next step looks like, we all take it. We all just take that next step. If all of us took our next step, whatever that looks like together, imagine how much exponentially stronger and more fulfilled the mission of our church becomes just in that single move. That's how it works. One at a time, one person at a time, our service strengthens us. Not just with a sense of purpose, but with purpose. I believe that the chance to serve is a gift from God. Both the labor and the ability to do it come from Him and are a gift to be enjoyed. Here's my prayer for all of us as I wrap up this morning. This is one of my favorite things Jesus says in the Bible. His disciples had left. They went to go get some food for lunch. They come back. He's been having this great conversation with a woman at a well. And they offer him some food. He's like, I'm not hungry. They wonder if he already ate. You know, they're just like scratching their head. And Jesus says this. This is my prayer for all of us. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. That's where Jesus said, I'm finding my fulfillment. I'm so jacked up right now from this great conversation that I just had, and the whole village is going to come over, and we're going to spend a couple days here, guys. This has been, you know, spiritual things are happening. I'm involved. I'm serving. I'm so fulfilled by that. That's my food. That's what matters to me. That's what fuels me. That's what drives me on. That is my prayer for all of us, that we don't buy the lie that says we're unqualified or unworthy to serve at something on something as precious as the team that is our church. But instead, we don't let that steal our joy, but we serve. It's a blast. It's a lot of work, and it's a ton of fun. My prayer is that we lock on to the truth that serving enriches our lives. It promotes our spiritual growth. What I want to say to you today, you may think me too bold or too simple or too self-convinced, but I am sure that a significant part of who we are as people and as Jesus followers is missing until we find our place on the team that is our church family. It's important. It's important for each of us. To serve others as God designed us is our highest calling and our greatest pursuit. Let's pray about that. Father, we come before you very aware that we can convince ourselves 100 different ways why perhaps now is not the time or we're not the one to serve on a team, to do something in terms of working in your kingdom. Free us from that, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see that just as you said, that you didn't come to be served, but to serve. You, the Son of God, the King of Kings, lowered yourself to serve others, and you are our Lord, our Rabbi, our teacher. We follow you. So help us to be like you in that way. Help us to be happy to serve just as you were, to see the high calling of serving, to pursue your design for us, because our design will point to our destiny. And it's so good because it comes from you. Help us to lean into that. We love you, Lord. As we take this communion, Father, we celebrate the fact that you sent Jesus to serve us by dying on that cross. by rising from the dead, by providing that which changed everything. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name.